You'll have fun. There we go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just let this transition take place. Amen. It's awesome to be in the house of God, right? Amen. Amen. I thank God for his presence, his love. We serve a great, big, and awesome God. Amen. Just bear with this a moment. Just let some folks get back. Look to the one next to you and say, I'm blessed to be beside you. Amen. Can I touch some of that anointing that's on you? Give me some. Reach over and grab your neighbor by the hand. Say, hey, I can use some of that. Don't be afraid. I don't think anybody in here bites. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for a moment. Just bear with me a second. Just want to say what the Lord wants to say and not what I want to say. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, several weeks ago, we started teaching and preaching out of Acts chapter 2 of what a move of God looks like, what the church is to look like, what the symbols of the Spirit looked like, and what they meant. And we looked at the breath from heaven that it came down, and the breath of life came and touched each and every one of us. Last week, Reverend Chris spoke out of, he used a little Nike symbol, just do it, and talked to you about hearing and understanding and doing God's word and God's will in our lives. And when I was looking at this, the Lord was showing me that in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking and teaching on the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that's coming, that he was teaching them all the aspects of the Spirit and how the Spirit would be working and how he would be with them and he would be in them, and they wouldn't be comfortless, and they'd have a helper, and they would have an advocate, and they would have a friend, they would have a teacher, and all these things are combined in the Spirit. But I just want you to get a hold of something in John 16, verse 33. When Jesus finished this teaching, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, and that in me ye might have peace. That in him we might have peace. But he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might. He didn't say perhaps you will. He said that you're going to have tribulation. And this word tribulation comes from the Greek word phlipsis. And it's spelled T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. It's pronounced phlipsis. Phlipsis. And phlipsis means despair, trouble, anguish. And what the Lord was saying is, in me, these things have I spoken unto you, that you may have peace. But in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, when I was thinking about that and I was looking about that, I was thinking about in life, we're pulled in so many different directions. And when I was reflecting on this, I was reminded of when I joined the Navy. When I joined the Navy, I went to Great Lakes, Illinois for boot camp, and I went to Millington, Tennessee for aviation school. And what they were teaching us is how to work together and live together. I was on the USS Independence, CV-62, an aircraft carrier. And I lived with 5,000 other guys out in the sea. And we had to get along. And one of the exercises that they used to help us work with teamwork is tug of war. We would have two teams that would be set up, and we would work together as a team. And it didn't matter which side was the strongest, because it didn't have to do with anything to do with strength. It had to do with the team that was in harmony together. And as you pulled in harmony, the other team, if they weren't in harmony, you were going to pull them because one man couldn't do it. And then when one man didn't do his part, the others had suffered. So it was sort of like in life, it's like tug of war. We're pulled one direction or we're pulled another, and we're pulled all different kind of ways. So sometimes it becomes a struggle. Hello? God just wants to be real. Just so I make sure I'm talking to the right congregation. Is anybody in the house going through something? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we know the word's on time. Jesus and God in all of his wisdom. God and Jesus in all of his all-knowing, knowing the beginning and the end, knew everything that we would be faced with in life. Jesus and this great sermon in the Sermon of the Mount, he stands up in Matthew 5 and starts talking to them about how blessed they were. You know, and as we're going into chapter 6, he goes with him and he talks to him about giving, how important it is to give. You know, then he talks to him about how to pray. Then he talks to him about, teaches him about how to fast. And then he leads him to where I want to go in our text today in Matthew chapter 6. So turn with me in Matthew 6 this morning. And I'm going to begin to read in verse number 19. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and worldly riches. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" I want to speak to you today out of verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" The title of this morning's message is Carried Through the Struggles. Carried Through the Struggles. And there's four areas that Jesus ministers to in this text today. He ministers to struggles with money, struggles with identity, struggles with worry, and struggles with our faith. We're going to deal with these four issues today with the help of the Lord. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration together in the house? So we're all on the same page. Say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's called me to be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak, Lord, for I am listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have to say to me today, in Jesus' name. Amen." Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it here to do. So, Lord, I just pray, Father God, that you speak through this vessel today, speak with clarity and with understanding, and may we all be bettered by the hearing of the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory will be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, all the way through life, you know, we're faced with financial and money struggles. There's two sides of the spectrum. There's the have too much and have not enough. All right, so there's a scale that we're looking at, and Jesus is letting them know that they're going to go through some things in life. We're going to be faced with some things. But God speaks to our hearts and lives about a money issue. And the day and age that we live in today, finances are important. Being wise is important. Being good stewards, you know. Some need financial counseling. If you need financial counseling, get it. You know, don't ignore it, because it's not going, if you have a problem with your finances, it's not going to go away until you address the issues. And so God in all of his wisdom talked to us about money. Amen? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I kind of really like Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. And the reason I really like these two books is it's a teacher talking to a student. It's a spiritual father talking to his spiritual son. He's given them instructions and guidance as how to walk this walk out. You know, how to walk and be a man of God or to be a woman of God. And he gives them the basic principles, and he's training him and he's teaching him. And when Timothy's messing up, Paul isn't beating the guy down. I mean, yeah, he wants to fan the gifts that were within him. He wants to encourage him. He wants them to show him the right way. He wants to, so that Timothy would have a good foundation. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6, the Word of God says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." In other words, whatever state we find ourselves in, we're to be content. If we can't find peace where we're at, we can't find peace with more. So God wants to add and God wants to give, but if you can't find the peace where you're at, he ain't going to give you more that's going to bring you more more unrest. You know, he says here that for we brought nothing into the world and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. I said this one time. I said, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul truck behind it. But then my nephew, Buddy, brought me a picture of this hearse with a U-Haul truck behind it, all right? But you're not going to see a hearse with a U-Haul truck behind it, because we brought nothing into this world and we're going to take nothing out. Naked we came in and naked we'll leave, you know? We might have some clothes on, but they'll decay. You know, he says that in having food and raiment, let us there be, us be there with content. But then he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and do many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I remember as a man in the business world before Christ, that as I was seeking and looking for the riches in this world, I found wealth, I found the riches, but I never found joy. I never found peace. None of those things ever made me happy. You know, I was sharing with somebody this morning, the more stuff I have, the more I have to take care of. You know, the more we have, the busier we get. You know, and we think that the more we have, the less we'll have to do, but it doesn't work that way. The more much given, much required. And when I was looking at this, and God wants everyone to be blessed. God doesn't want anyone to stay poor.
That's right.
You know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills that they stand upon. But what God is saying in his word, when you're dealing with money struggles, it's the love of things, it's the love of money that gets in the way. You know, God doesn't mind that you have anything as long as those things don't come before him. You see, and that's what Paul was saying to his student, Timothy. He was saying, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Matter of fact, Jesus would say in Matthew, in Mark chapter 9, verse number 23, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That ain't where the scripture I was going to. Hallelujah. Forgive me.
No problem.
No problem. Matthew 19. Let's try that one. There it is, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And he wasn't saying, it wasn't about the riches. You know? I think God blesses us. Hey, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I got the favor of God on my life. My finances are blessed. Amen? You know, God's blessed me to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he speaks about equality. Equality. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for a moment. Chapter 8, verse 14 says, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want, that their abundance may also be a supply to your want, that there may be equality. And he said, okay, I'm doing really good now. So while I'm doing really good, I got to be a blessing. Because I never know when I'm going to be good. I might go through a valley. And the one that I was blessing is in a mountaintop. Because the world and life is made up of mountaintops and valleys. It's like you go through some things. You know, I remember as a young man, and people don't understand how things can change overnight. When I was a young man, I used Lloyd's Bank in Guadalajara at Mexico, and I kept money in that bank. And it was on New Year's Eve, 1 year, where they changed the value of the peso. It went from 100 for a dollar went from 10 for a dollar to 100. So overnight, your dollar value went from, lost from 90% overnight, just in one evening. So we never know what might take place in the world we live in. That's why we store our riches in heaven. That's why where rust and moth won't corrupt, where the adversary can't come to steal. And the thing about it is what God says in his word is it's all about principles, godly principles. I want to illustrate this for a moment. So let's see. I need a couple of volunteers. Dylan, would you come up here and help me? Chris is back there by himself. Chris, would you come up here and help me too, please? Hallelujah. I want to speak to everybody in finances for a moment. When we get our lives aligned with God's word and his principles, we step into his blessing. God doesn't go outside of his plan. God gave us principles, godly principles for finances. And let me see. Dylan, can I trust you? You think I can trust you? I can probably trust you in front of all these people, can't I? Maybe? Right. Can I trust you with my wallet? Yeah, I trust you. I'll trust you with it. All right? I put it in your hand. Do me a favor, Dylan, take $5 out of the wallet and go put it in the offering plate for me. All right. Was that hard for you, Dylan? Why wasn't it hard? Because it's my wallet, right? It wasn't your money, right? So there's no problem giving away mine, right? Give Chris $15.
I'm sorry, I cannot.
Give Chris $15. Was that hard for you? Why was it hard for you? It was just hard?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that hard for you because what? It wasn't your money, right?
Yeah.
Right? And here's a principle I want to get you to get a hold of today. It's not ours. It does not belong to us. The first thing that went in the plate was the tithe, which blessed the balance. Then came his. Then he gets a double portion. He gets blessed with the remainder. And what God says is when we recognize that it doesn't belong to us, that he's entrusted us with it, it isn't so hard to give it away. But when I've got mine attitude, all I think about is me. You'll never give nothing away. You'll be a hoarder. You'll stack things all your life, and you'll nothing will be given away because you just keep holding on to things. God says, give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. As you give, other men shall give into your bosom. And you can keep the wallet. You can keep the money. Hey, thank you. Sometimes it pays to come to church. Hallelujah. So, in life, you know, when it's a money struggle, let me say this to you. When we're at our lowest part is the time when God wants you to trust him the most. It's easy to trust him when I'm on the mountain. But it's when I'm going through the valley, I've got to continue to trust him and trust him in his word. He says, as I give, as I tithe, I'm blessed. You know, he rebukes the devourer on my behalf. So I become blessed coming in and going out, and I get to walk in the blessings of God. And then when I get into giving offerings, then I get into the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold blessing. Amen. You know, I sowed this morning to these two men, and I'll be blessed. Amen? Because you know why? It wasn't mine. It was his. And he trusted me with it. And now he trusted you with it. And he trusted you with it. What will you do? It's up to you. Hallelujah. So we're all going to go through some struggles with finances. Secondly, we're going to go through some struggles with identity. I tell you something, when you become a new child of God and you become a new believer in Christ Jesus, and all of a sudden you got to leave your old brothers and your old buds and friends and you got to walk in a different direction, it isn't easy. You know, the Word of God says, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me think, get where I'm going. Chapter 5, verse number 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, and my new identity. You know, in the world today, there's one of the biggest thieveries that's taking place is identity theft. Where identity is being stolen. And you know who it happens the most with? Ages 18 through 24. Mostly with students. They get to leave home. They're going to school, and they've got their iPads and their computers, and they start buying and selling on the internet, and then somebody steals their identity. They get all these credit cards. Everybody wants to give them credit. Do you remember? She had every credit card that was out there when she got to school. And she was buying everything under the sun. Because it was free. You know, I want you to understand something. Jesus said you couldn't serve two masters. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He said, you got to choose who you're going to serve. He was saying, hey, you either got to choose to serve God or mammon. You got to identify yourself either with me or things of this world. That word mammon comes from the Greek word mammonos, M-O-M-O-N-A-S. And it means worldly riches. Worldly riches. So he's saying you have a new identity in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are becoming new. Amen? I'm walking in a different direction now. Amen? I've been accepted. I've been approved. I've been adopted into the family of God, not by works of righteousness which I have done, according to Titus 3:5, but by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been rejuvenated. I became a new creation. You know, and then God says to you and I, he says, hey, here's the plan. If I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, he says, Romans 12:2, then be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because let me say something to you. Godly principles will not make sense. And if you're trying to understand with the natural mind, you're not going to understand with the natural mind because it's spiritually discerned. The natural man will not understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. And God has given you and I the Spirit of God. So he's saying, man, I got a new identity. I got a new identity in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to let anyone or anything come and steal my new identity. Amen? Hey, when I was a sailor, I cursed like a sailor. But when I became a child of God, I didn't talk like that no more. I'm not that man anymore. My mouth changes the way I talk, the way I walk. Man, because what? I'm walking with Jesus, and he does what, Barbara Jean? He walks with me, and he talks with me.
And he walks with me, and he talks.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So you and I have been approved, accepted, and adopted. And now it's just a matter of getting adjusted. Amen? You know, and Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just like an attorney proving a case. In other words, when I'm sharing with you a thought, what I'm going to do is I'm backing up with God's word. God is a man that he should not lie, neither the Son of Man, he needs to repent. God said it, it's true. Amen. So as we're looking at this, he says in Ephesians 4, verse 22, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Amen. So as this new creation in Christ Jesus, as old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. I'm being not conformed to the world, because I was already conformed to the world, but now I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I got to change the way I think so that I may prove what is a good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen? So each and every one of us, we're going to go through financial struggles. We're going to go through some identity struggles. I have an opportunity to witness and minister to people in prison and local jails. And one of the things that most of them have a problem with is putting on the new man when it comes to their conversation. It's so easy to join in what everyone else is doing, But God said, hey, if it takes you being in an island, you need to get in an island and get renewed in your mind. God will transform your mind with some time. Amen?
Amen.
I think the old thing is the old saying, dirt in, dirt out. Good in, good out. Whatever you sow. You and I are, as children of God, we're called to sow to ourselves in righteousness. He says also, he talked to them about, not only did he talk to them about their finances and their money and their identity, but he also talked about worry. He said five times in the text, take no thought. Take no thought. In other words, he said, take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought. Don't worry about what's coming tomorrow. God's grace is sufficient for this day. This is the day that he has made. And he says to you and I about worry. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In other words, he tells us not to worry and not to fear. He was telling them, hey, why are you worried about these things? It's a matter of perspective. And when I asked everyone in the congregation who was going through something, and everyone raised your hand, that we're all going through something in a different level. Maybe in a different place, maybe in a different area, but everybody's going through something. And I was reminded when I was looking at this, and when I was thinking of the word perspective, I was reminded of a story of a young freshman girl that went off to a university. And she's ending her first semester of school, and she's writing her mom a letter. Said, dear mom, I just wanted to bring you up to date. What's taking place in my life? I thought you would really be interested. That first off, Mom, I met a man. I believe I'm in love. He's only 39. He has a couple of children, but him and his wife didn't get along. But Mom, I love him. Oh, he's a convicted felon, but Mom, don't worry. He told me he didn't do it. Said Mom, I just can't wait for you to meet him. Oh, yes, Mom. And by the way, I've decided to quit school and move in with my new boyfriend. Oh, yeah, Mom. And I knew you would be excited. Congratulations. You're going to be a grandmom. Then she said, P.S., Mom, none of those statements are true, but I am failing chemistry. It would be a matter of perspective. You got to put yourself in that mom's house. Now that when she heard that second story, it wasn't that big. All right? All of a sudden, wow, good. I'm so happy you're just failing chemistry, you know? You know, and so many times it's a matter of perspective. It's how we look at it. It's how we magnify it. Do we make our problem bigger than God, or God bigger than our problem? Do we make our situation bigger than God, or do we make God bigger than our situation? Do we make our circumstances bigger to God, bigger than God, or do we make God bigger than our circumstances? It's a matter of perspective. It's all the way that you look at it. Because as you look at it and as you see it, it's going to become. So what he was saying to us, he says, hey, we're going to go through some worry struggle. You know, we're going to go through times when we don't have the answers. And that's when the trust comes. We're going to have struggles with people. Let's turn to 1 Peter for a moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 5. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. In other words, we're to be humble ourselves before one another, submit ourselves to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In other words, if you can't be subject one to another, if you cannot submit yourself one to another, you cannot walk in humility. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to what? He giveth grace to the humble. So when we humble ourselves and we submit ourselves to one another, then we can cast our cares on God. Because God cares for you and I. Amen? Amen? You know, I've learned, man. We all go through stuff, and I'm going through stuff, but I ain't going to carry it. I ain't going to try to bear it. It's not my problem. I'm a child of God. I've been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. I walk in the confidence of a God that I serve. I'm not a weakling when it comes to things of God. I believe God in every word that he says. And if he said he'll do it, he'll do it. And I just trust him at it. Hallelujah. And when those storms of life come in, I ain't going to take and make them part of my life. No way. We were marching around here a little while ago. When I was marching here, I was praying in the Spirit, Lord, I step over every demon right now in the name of Jesus that's stealing family members. I step on addiction demons. I step on alcohol demons. I step on sexual demons. I step on all these demons. I take authority over them in the name of Jesus. I walk in the power and authority of Jesus, and so do you. I'm no better than you are. You know better than we are. We're all children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. You know, I can't do anything that you can't do, but we can do all things. Amen. I need you as much as you need me. Hallelujah. And I need every last one of you. I need every last one of your faith. I need every last one of your gifts. I need every last one of your abilities. God has a plan in every life in the room, and everyone is needed. Dan, I'll tell you what, it's something about being needed. Amen. And we don't have a poster out, wanted dead and alive. We have a poster, wanted alive. Maybe we'll make it, wanted, die first and then live. Amen. You know, he tells you and I in Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, cast your cares. Cast your cares. I don't know about you, but if I have something that's really bothering my mind and something that I'm focusing on is something that's got my attention and I cast it out, my mind isn't just going to sit there empty. In other words, I have to put something in action. I got to put something in. I got to change my thinking. I got to change my thinking. That's what he says. In other words, he says in Philippians 4:8, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, if I do not replace the thought, the same thought's going to come back. So if I cast that care away and I don't replace the thought, that same thing's going to come back again. And again, and again, and again. So I got to replace that thought with something else. And the problem is we keep dwelling on the same thing, and the same thing, and the same thing, the same thing. And we've made that thing so large, we've made it so big in our eyes, that we think that God can't do anything with it because it's so large. I want you to understand there is nothing that is too big for our God. God can change things in one moment. There's an all of a sudden, things around can change. You know when it changes? When I allow Him to change me. It's like when I hold up this Bible. It's like when I'm holding up this word, it's like it's a mirror. And guess what? I'm not here looking at your junk. I got junk in the trunk myself. I'm not looking at all your shortcomings. I'm showing you what God says in His word, what the answer is. The answer is Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's the same. Amen. He's the same healer. Hallelujah. So we're going to go through in life. We're going to go through money struggles. We're going to go through identity struggles. We'll have times when we're faced with, when the enemy wants to put worry on us, and we don't worry as children of God. We don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Amen. That's the spirit we walk in as children of God. Amen. And when we see these things coming in and they're agitating me, I recognize who the author is, because God isn't going to send a spirit to agitate me. God's a God of order, not of confusion. So anywhere there's confusion, God isn't in it. He doesn't do that. He's a God of order. He does things decently and He does them in order. He says that we're going to go through struggles with money, struggles with identity, struggles with worry, and at times we're going to have struggles with our faith. Amen? Hey, let's be honest. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. No, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. What does diligence mean? What do you think? My grandbaby. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, but without faith, it's possible to please God. Does that mean that when I don't have enough faith, I'm not pleasing God? No. I have faith in Jesus. I have faith in God. But there's times when I just don't have enough. You know, there's times when I need someone else's faith. There's times when I need to join with someone as two or three agree. You know, there's times when I just can't go through it myself. And when I'm faced with that time, that's time when I have to get on my face. It says, the Bible says in James 1, if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God, He give liberally and abrade not. In other words, God, who should I join faith with? In other words, if you're joining with someone's faith, don't join with someone's faith that's going through the same struggle you're going through. You're pulling each other down. In other words, I may be going through one thing and you're going through another thing, and we can join together. You can help my faith where I'm weak, and I can help your faith where you're weak. Amen? But the natural thing we do is we find somebody that's going through the same thing we're going through, and we hook together with them. And then we're both miserable. Misery loves company. Just saying. Just saying. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, and the reason I'm saying this, Jesus, when he is speaking this in Matthew 6, he knew all these things that we were going to go through. He knew that you were going to be going through these struggles. He saw beforehand in all of his foreknowledge and wisdom that God was speaking, that he knew every situation and circumstance that we would go through. I remember with that man that came to Jesus in Mark 9, he had come to his disciples. He had a son that had a foul spirit in him. And the disciples couldn't cast them out. And Jesus said to him in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief." In other words, he said, "Lord, I believe, but I just don't have quite enough." You know? And Jesus wouldn't look at him and said, "Well, you foul, unbelieving man." When the man was honest, what did Jesus do? He cast the old devil out of the boy, and the boy was healed. Amen? So sometimes it's not wrong to say, "Hey, my faith's being tested. I don't have faith enough for this situation. I don't have faith enough for this circumstance." So Jesus, in all of his wisdom, when he says that we're going to struggle with money and identity and worry and faith, he gave the resolve. He gave the resolve in Matthew 6:33. He gave the answer to every situation that every last one of us will go through. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." These things will be added to you in your struggles with money. These things will be added to you with your struggle with your identity. These things will be added to you with the struggles that you have with worry. This will be added to you with the struggles that you have with your faith. You know, God, in all of his mercy and his grace and love, he sees everything that you're going through, you know, and he wants you to know today that he truly cares. Not only that he sees it, but that he cares. That he's touched with our feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with our weaknesses. He has placed you around someone to stand with you. The word of God says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." We live in a sinful world. He says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Not out of some, not out of a couple, but God delivers us out of all of our troubles when we call on him. You know, so what is he saying is, in closing today, he's just simply saying to you and I, hey, we're going to go through some struggles in this life. We're going to go through some struggles with our finances. We're going to go through struggles with our identity. We're going to go through struggles with our worry at times, and we're going to struggle with our faith. But he says to you and I, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Bow your heads and let us pray.